All right, we are live with a special episode of the Xbox 2. We're going to be talking about XO18. And with me, as always, Jez Corden of Windows Central. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, pal. God, it's for a change. I've actually had a really good night's sleep. So this is the first time in a while that I'm podcasting without being really tired.
Yeah, normally you're really tired, and I just realized I pulled a new maneuver and didn't introduce myself.
Oh my God!
People don't know. I'm sorry, folks. We have Jez Corden, who just introduced himself, the one half of Xbox 2.
Wait. Maybe I can introduce you.
Okay, you introduce me. Let's see which kind of adjectives you can use to describe me. I'm waiting for this. I've been waiting forever.
And we have the Rand guy with a million game score. That's right.
I mean, you know, I mean, that's good. I mean, it was your first time. You know, it was your first time. I get it. It was all right. You could, you know, next time open up with the Thoris and, you know, find some averages for like legend and amazing, fantastic.
The mythical.
Good looking, handsome. You know, all those things are very well.
The sexually voracious.
I don't know about that, but we don't want to lie to people here. So, So thanks for joining. We're doing this on a Sunday because you weren't sure you could be able to do the show on a Wednesday or Thursday this week. So we figured we got to talk about it. Big news. We didn't have a show this past week because, well, you weren't around.
I was on a lot of planes this week.
You were on a lot of planes. And so it's like
10,000 miles this week.
10,000 miles. That's a lot. Did you rack up a lot of rewards miles?
I haven't had one of those programs. Maybe I really should.
What airline did you use? What did you use out of Germany?
Out of Germany, I was on KLM, which is a Dutch airline. For those who don't know, it was quite good, not the best. On the way back, I was with Delta, which I know people hate Delta, but I've never had a problem with Delta. I quite like Delta. Shout out to Delta. This is not sponsored.
Hashtag ad.
Hashtag ad. My favorite airline is Lufthansa, which is a German firm. Very nice food and free booze. So
Free booze is always good.
Mm-hmm.
Free booze is, well, I don't really drink, but I know people love to drink. Free booze is a thing. Now, how long was the flight? I gotta say, I mean, were you on it quite a bit?
It was the flight. For those who don't know, obviously, I wrote Crackdown 3 preview this week. Obviously, in order to do that, I had to be in America to play the game. So, flying to Seattle was the longest bit of travel I've ever done in my life. It was 3 hours of trains to Nuremberg to Amsterdam, waiting in Amsterdam, then Amsterdam to Canada, flying in a snowstorm. So, that was interesting. And 3 hours in Canada. Very nice people in Canada. Shout out to Canada. Shout out to all of Canada. And then I flew to Seattle from there.
Yeah. So we will definitely delve into your impressions of Crackdown 3's Wrecking Zone multiplayer, the mode that everybody's been looking forward to since 2015. You finally got to play it. Your impressions are up on Windows Central. You wrote an article. It was a really good read. I encourage everybody to go check it out. But Jez is going to talk about his thoughts about it in a little bit because we're going to go over XO first because there is a ton of stuff to talk about as well as some other little knickknacks of news. Since this might actually be a regular episode of the Xbox 2 since we don't know if we can do one later on. So let's get the show started. If you're just joining, make sure you give it a thumbs up here on YouTube, subscribe, all that good stuff. And hi, if you're listening later on Google and SoundCloud and iTunes, we appreciate everybody that checks out the show. So really quickly, what you've been playing? Clearly, you've been playing Crackdown 3. Have you been playing anything else?
Other than Crackdown, I mean, we'll touch on it a bit. I've been playing a lot of Battlefield 5.
Yeah, I started up a little bit too. What do you think
There's
so
no
far?
embargo. There's no embargo, so I'm allowed to talk about it. Obviously, there's no embargo because it's on the Origin and EA Access trial for 10 hours. So anyone can go and play it, and 10 hours is probably enough to write a review of it anyway. So there you go. I love it. You know, I just love it. I'm a Battlefield fan. I really enjoyed Call of Duty this year, but I always sort of see Call of Duty as the popcorn and then Battlefield as the main course. You know, that's how it goes down for me. I love it. The environmental destruction is awesome. It feels like a step up from Battlefield 1 even. I love the gunplay. It feels really tight. I love the weapons. I love like the World War II setting, the tanks, and you know, I mean the technology is a little bit more advanced in Battlefield 1. But you know, I'm hearing a lot of criticism for this game. I mean, even beyond the whole there's women in it thing. Some people, they don't like the fact that it is pretty much similar setting to Battlefield 1. You know, it's that sort of era, you know, old-fashioned technology and stuff like that. And I kind of get that. I kind of get the sense that this almost feels like it could have been an expansion to Battlefield 1 in a way, because the setting is very, very, very similar. You know, right. It's the European theater of war and all that sort of stuff. And on that basis, I kind of get that people might feel fatigued with the setting. And I think it probably was a mistake on their part to have doubled down on that era of conflict. Because I think like people are feeling fatigued from it already.
I am feeling fatigued from World War II. Like, I was one of the few people who actually enjoyed the future focus in modern combat of the previous ones. And while it was nice to delve back into Battlefield 1 and World War I, because that was very unique. And it was kind of nostalgic to take a trip through World War II and Call of Duty World War II.
Yeah.
But now it's just like, you know, there's a reason they moved away from those because we've played all those games. Yeah. It's like Battlefield does modern combat maybe the best. And to see them kind of...
helicopters and all that sort of
stuff. Yeah. So I'm excited to play through the campaign. The multiplayer, not so much. I did take a look. Game looks like a beast on the X, man. Oh, my God. It's insane.
That's the thing. I've played it on both the X and the S, and my God, I just can't go back to the S now. It's just like...
You're spoiled.
It looks fuzzy, man. It
looks fuzzy.
It's not even blurry. It looks fuzzy. Like, the trees look like white noise, green white noise coming out of your TV. I mean, it's impressive that it runs as well as it does. It's 60 frames, and it runs really well. And it looks really detailed. It's just the trade-off is... My God, texture resolution and stuff like that. It is a fuzzy game. It's fuzzy, man.
All right. So you're enjoying it though. Haven't finished the campaign. You've just been playing kind of multiplayer.
Yeah, I don't really play the campaign in these games. I mean, I'm gonna have to play it for this one because I'm actually reviewing it myself. Usually Matt reviews them, but he's super busy this week, so I'll be going through the campaign myself. I will say, like, the atmosphere. They've nailed the atmosphere. Like, it's almost like horror music in the background. It's not like, you know, the epic sort of heroic music of some shooters. It's like, it's almost like horror feeling, and it's sobering when like everyone, because they've got this whole revival mechanic now where like if you get killed, you don't die straight away. There's a chance you can be revived and you sort of go down for a few seconds. The spawn time is exactly the same. Like, I've seen some people complain that it's annoying to have to wait for longer to respawn, but the time to respawn is exactly the same as it was in Battlefield 1. It's just now you get an option to be revived beforehand. So on that basis, like, everyone lying on the floor screaming in agony while there's this sort of depressing music floating in the background and all the rubble falling down from tank shells hitting the buildings. It's just exciting, man. I just love Battlefield. I mean, EA screwed up the reveal. You know, the tone was wrong, and they doubled down by calling their fans
stupid.
They
screwed up a lot of people. They screwed up a lot of things, Jez.
Yeah. EA are just the kings of screwing things up lately. But, you know, it is what it is, and the game's fun. So that's how I feel about Battlefield. Other than Battlefield, I haven't really played a whole bunch. I played a lot of Heroes. I've gotten into the Heroes of the Storm this week. in the past couple of weeks. I don't know if many people want to hear about that, but Heroes of the Storm is a MOBA on PC with Blizzard characters, kind of like League of Legends and Dota and stuff like that. But you play as Blizzard characters because, as we all know, a bit of a Blizzard fanboy. We should talk
Yes.
about the whole Diablo thing
We
later
will.
as
We
well.
will. We will.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I've been playing in Crackdown 3, which we'll talk about in a minute. But what have you been playing, pal? What have you been playing?
I finished Red Dead Redemption 2.
I still haven't finished that
Oh
myself.
my God, 70 hours. 70 hours of just pure gaming bliss. I put up a video why I love Arthur Morgan. It's my favorite gaming protagonist.
Ethanol?
Yeah, dude, the journey he goes on, his arc, character arc, unparalleled in any other game.
Damn.
No, that's not to say the game's perfect, even though I think it's the best game of this year and probably the best game of the generation. There are issues with the controls, a little bit sluggish. I had to change things around, especially with the aiming to get it to something that I wanted, right?
The fishing's good though, right?
I actually fished for quite a bit. I hunted. There's so many things you can do in the game that doesn't even have to do with like the story. It's the most ambitious game I've ever played. Clearly, Rockstar are just masters of their craft. And any other year, God of War would be an easy game of the year. Like literally, I was thinking, 2013, 14, 15, 16, 17, God of War would be game of the year. Any of those
Even
years, except
Spider-Man though?
Oh yeah, God of War is way better. God of War is a
Everyone likes Spider-Man though. Isn't that the game that sold
Well,
more
I mean,
copies?
Spider. Yeah, okay. Well, just because something's popular doesn't mean it's better. But yeah, Spider-Man sold more. Obviously, he's a more well-known character. But as a game, to me at least, remember, this is just my opinion, I think God of War is just another level above Spider-Man. Like, Spider-Man's really good, but like God of War is just above it, right? So like to me, the only two games worthy of Game of the Year so far are Red Dead Redemption 2 and God of War. And God of War would literally be game of the year every other year. 2013, 14, 15, 16, 17. Maybe 2015 might be a little tough with Witcher 3, but it would literally be God of War. But they got blocked by Rockstar. But hey, it is what it is. They're both amazing games. I love them
Nobody beats
both.
Rockstar, man.
Yeah.
They're in another league. I'm like, when I saw Cyberpunk 2077 at Gamescom, I was like, oh my God, CD Projekt Red, they've done it. They've gotten to Rockstar's level. But now I've seen Red Dead Redemption. It feels like CD Projekt Red have to get to another level now. So,
Yeah, they do.
should be
They
interesting.
do. What else? I also played some Hitman 2
Oh,
as
right. I
well.
haven't played that.
It's more Hitman, which I didn't play much of Hitman 1 because of how it was released, the episodic format. Just couldn't really get into it, right? And this is coming from someone who's a big fan of the franchise. Like, I've played all the previous Hitmans, and Hitman 1 came out, and I played the first like level, and I was like, this is really good, but then like it was like months later they released the other one and I just didn't care. So Hitman 2, I bought it, bought the $100 edition, comes with everything. And there's this cool thing where they remastered the maps of the first game, and if you own that version, you can actually play them in Hitman 2. So not only do I have the six or seven new levels of Hitman 2, I also have the six or seven levels from Hitman 1 remastered with like Hitman's two upgrades. So I have like the entire experience you can play through, which is pretty cool. And I'll be working on that, but I actually got Battlefield 5 a little bit early thanks to a friend of mine. And I've been playing I'm gonna start to the campaign and go through that first. And then I'll go back to Hitman 2. But and that's what I've been playing. Red Dead 2, finished that up. Getting into these. Yes, the Assassin's Creed Odyssey review is still coming, as well as a Hitman 2 review, as well as a Battlefield 5 campaign review, because I'm probably going to do that because I am interested in the campaign. I don't really have anybody to play. Although, me and you will play the multiplayer in Battlefield 5, right?
Oh yeah, I mean,
Yeah.
hopefully.
Well, we play Battlefield 1 multiplayer together. It's just that, we're on at different times, so it's kind of hard.
You need to move to Europe, man.
I do. And
Get some of that free healthcare, man.
shout out to Gamer M for the super chat. He says Crackdown 3's destruction has been severely reduced from OG. We'll be talking about that. Jez will go give us his hands-on impressions of the multiplayer destruction and if it's been reduced from the original vision a little bit later. But yeah, that's what I've been playing. I'm looking forward to maybe checking out Spyro. I'm not really sure yet. I am not really interested in Fallout 76, Jez. Are you? I know Fallout 76 comes out this week, but I just don't care about that game at all.
God. Fallout 76 should be my perfect game. I really like Conan Exiles. I like those sort of survival games. I love Fallout as a genre. I love post-apocalypse and all that sort of stuff. But after the beta, the train wreck that was the beta, the most buggy game I've played this year. And yeah, I know it's a beta, but it's like a month out beta, which how are they going to get all this stuff fixed for the big day?
They're not going to get it all fixed. That's the thing. You know, they've already put
the day one patch is bigger than the entire game.
I mean, they already sent out like a statement saying there's going to be spectacular bugs. You know, like I watched Ninja stream. Ninja was on Mixer, which was weird because he's like the biggest Twitch star. But they were doing a Fallout 76 stream on Mixer and at Bethesda's Twitch channel where it was Ninja playing with Logic, playing with Rick and Morty. Right? And it was one of the worst streams I've ever seen. Like, there was no chemistry between anybody, and the game looked like ass because they were playing it on a console. They were playing it on the Xbox console. Not sure if it was the One X or the One S. The game looks bad, and it looks like it runs like garbage. So I don't know. Like, I'm not that big of a fan of Fallout anyways, but nothing I've seen of Fallout 76 makes me want to go out and be like, yeah, I want to experience this game at all. I don't know. Bethesda, they might have a disaster on their hands, but maybe it'll be saved for the fact that there are a ton of Bethesda and Fallout fanboys out there, right?
Put it this way. Our Fallout 76 coverage has done better than pretty much all of our other game coverage this year. Yeah, the traffic we've been getting on this game is immense. So regardless of the noise about how bad it's going to be, Fallout is a huge franchise. But it could go like the whole Assassin's Creed Unity way, where the game ends up being so bad that it damages the whole franchise. So, man, you know, it's not a done deal. A franchise isn't enough to carry games anymore, as we saw with Diablo this past week. People are distrustful and they don't expect, you know, they don't like, they're not, people have gotten to the point now where they don't just accept everything that a publisher does when it's genuinely bad. You know, people often defend things, you know, franchises they love no matter what.
But you mean there's fanboys that defend their favorite consoles and games? Oh, I'm shocked. You mean there's Xbox fans that will defend Xbox no matter what? PlayStation fans that will defend PlayStation no matter what? Nintendo fans that will defend Nintendo no matter what? You've opened my eyes today, Jez. Yeah. I didn't know that.
I've certainly seen that from Fallout as well. But I think like there comes a point when something is so objectively bad that even the hardest of the core fans can't defend it.
And like I don't know about that.
That's the big worry with Fallout. You know, what if it's just so bad that it kills the franchise? Because nothing's going to kill Fallout. They'd have to release several broken games to kill the franchise, but it could severely damage the franchise.
All right, well, since you brought it up, let's talk about Diablo real fast. And shout out to Lumi for the super chat. Appreciate it, brother. Are you surprised by the amount of backlash that Diablo Immortal is getting? I guess I should shut this up, right? So BlizzCon, the conference for the hardcore that Blizzard puts on every single year, tickets range from, what, $200? People fly in from across the country. This is the super hardcore of the Blizzard.
I'm saving up my own money to go next year.
I know it's Roby went. 1,000. You know, but yeah. So this is like a press conference for like the ultra hardcore. And they ended the show with a in-depth look at Diablo Immortal, which was a mobile phone game. No plans of it ever coming to PC or anywhere else. And man, did the guys at the show hate it? Did the people online hate it?
Ooh.
And like this led to, you know, it being like one of the most disliked video game trailers ever on YouTube.
Activision are good at that now.
But it went beyond that because then you started having game journalists siding with Blizzard and calling out like gamers as like entitled and whiny crybabies. and I'm sitting there like looking at all this stuff and I'm like, oh my Lord. Right. I didn't make a video because like, I don't really care about.
I just imagine you like surveying a battlefield, like on fire, you standing above it all like, oh my God, what's going on?
Yeah. And it's just like, look, if, in my opinion, if you're going to announce a mobile game, right, you need to do it how Bethesda's done it or how Xbox has done it. Announce the mobile game alongside the core game, like Gears Pop and Gears of War 5. Can you imagine the reaction if Microsoft literally just only announced Gears Pop? People would have thrown tomatoes at the stage of Phil Spencer and Rod Ferguson. Get off. It would have been a bad reaction. But they were satiated because they know Gears 5 is coming. So whatever, make the phone game. Every time Bethesda's done it, Fallout Shelter, right? They've announced Fallout 4. Elder Scrolls Blade, they announced Elder Scrolls 6. There's a playbook that works incredibly well that is there for Blizzard to see. And maybe they thought they were above it all, but my God, did they get destroyed. And worst of all is like, you see the people on stage, which I do feel a little bad for because they're just doing their job, right? People like booing them and stuff like that, but literally say, you all have phones, right? Yeah, we all may have phones, but that doesn't mean we want to play Diablo Immortal on our phone. That's basically a Chinese mobile ripoff, right? Made by a Chinese company that's going to be filled with pervasive microtransactions to just suck the money from you, right?
Rip.
Jez, go on a little bit more. What do you think about this whole thing?
Well, first and foremost, I think like people attacking Blizzard devs are assholes because, let's face it, the low-level Blizzard dev, they're not the person making these decisions. I'm sure nobody signed up to be a game developer to work on a predatory pay-to-win mobile game. Nobody goes through uni thinking, yeah, I'm going to work on the next Candy Crush. I don't think anyone does that. But, you know, you got to pay the bills. You got to pay them bills. So the people who are to blame for this ultimately are Activision Blizzard, the holding company that owns Activision and Blizzard. Activision doesn't own Blizzard. It's some sort of weird holding company scenario. Blizzard is supposedly, Blizzard operates autonomously from the higher Activision thought processes. But over the last years, it started to feel like that's not the case anymore. Blizzard started, you know, for example, Battle for Azeroth, World of Warcraft expansion shipped this summer. It was a train crash. It was an absolute train crash. It was like the buggiest, like most messy expansion in World of Warcraft history, probably. Like the systems didn't work properly. Like all the feedback from beta and alpha had been ignored. They rushed it out the gate. Now, back in the day, Blizzard used to, they had this like design ethos that was like, we'll ship it when it's ready. That feels like it's gone out of the window in recent years, and everyone sort of started to see this erosion of Blizzard's culture and this erosion of quality and stuff like that. And amongst all that sort of background noise, which maybe only sort of the Blizzard hardcore fans are really sort of thinking about, they announced a mobile game at their biggest show, front-loaded with NetEase as a banner. NetEase as a brand associated with predatory pay-to-win mobile clones. I don't think they even really make their own games. They just sort of rip games off. They already have a Diablo ripoff game, and it's full of pay-to-win crap and garbage. And they front-load the trailer with NetEase, for God's sake. And so it's no wonder people were angry. People were livid, man. Like, you see, the guy in the audience is like, is this an April Fool's joke? You know, it literally said that live. I was watching it on the BlizzCon ticket. Is this an April Fool's joke? It's crazy. But like, at the same time, they're going to make an insane amount of money.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think Diablo Immortal is for that group of gamers, which is kind of weird to even present it to them in the first place. You know what I mean? Yeah. But it all could have been avoided if they literally said, by the way, we're also working on Diablo 4.
No, but right? You got to think, you got it. Exactly. That's what they should have done. And Kotaku said, Kotaku reported that the original plan was to announce Diablo 4. But, you know, I've got contact to Blizzard too. And, you know, it's not exactly that was the case. people at Blizzard pushed for them to announce Diablo 4, at least tease it alongside that stuff, because people working at Blizzard aren't stupid. They're gamers too, and they saw the way they announced Gears Pop. But at the same time, you got to think of this. The amount of controversy that Diablo yes. Immortal has
yes,
generated...
Yes, that word! There we go.
We use that every week now. The amount of controversy that Diablo Immortal has generated has pushed its marketing far beyond what announcing Diablo 4 alongside it would have done. So even though like it's got loads of negative publicity, that is publicity. And the people who this game is aimed for, they have heard about it now, when previously they might not have heard about it. Like, they probably haven't heard of Gears Pop because there was no controversy about it. Controversy, you know? There's no controversy about Gears Pop. But because of the controversy about Diablo Immortal, it's now everyone's talking about it. And all those people who say, who are hating on it, they're probably going to play it. I'm going to play it, Rand.
Yeah, you probably will. I'm not going to play it. I'm not going to play it.
I'm going to play Diablo more. I want Diablo on my phone.
Okay, what did you think of the whole journalist coming out defending you know, Blizzard against the outrage of the gamers? Like I thought that was kind of weird. Like the whole the journalist calling you know, entitled gamers this and that. Almost like they had to come out and defend their corporate overlords, like the ones who pay their ad bills. Like, you know what? It's
recreational outrage. It works both ways.
It's true. So it gets clicks. Yeah. So,
it's exactly like the controversy about Diablo Immortal leading to more more people talking about it, leading to more engagement. A dislike is worth just as much as a like, you know.
Well, that's,
on YouTube.
That's true to a certain extent.
It's better than nothing. You know, right. If something's like, if nobody's clicking like or dislike, then that's bad. But if equal amounts of people are clicking like and dislike, that causes it to rise in the trending, because people want to know why people are angry. You know, and for every person that's angry about Diablo Immortal, there's probably another person who's like, yeah, I want to play Diablo on my phone. And like, another thing I've heard about Diablo Immortal is like, a lot of the concern about it is that it's going to be pay to win and stuff like that. And some of the Diablo clones out there are sort of like, they're sort of bracketed like World of Tanks, where like you play with people who have gear as good as you, but the people who pay more will always be more powerful than you. And yeah. Like in World of Tanks, like if you spend a lot of money, you'll be playing against other people who spend a lot of money too. But within that bracket, there's still this sort of curve where people who pay money can sort of perpetually pace ahead of people who don't pay money. And there are that's the way some of these Diablo clones work too. But some of the people I've spoken to at Blizzard, they've said things like, we hope that fans would see that we wouldn't make it pay to win because we didn't do that with our other IP and stuff like that. But the thing is, man, even in Hearthstone, it's like if you're a new player playing Hearthstone, I don't know if you've ever played Hearthstone, but if you're a newbie Hearthstone player, you just get destroyed by people with better cards than you. And the only way, you can grind out losing over and over again. You can grind that out until you've got a decent deck, but it's like, I can also just pay the money to buy the cards faster, you know, and it creates this sort of social pressure to sort of, especially in a game like Diablo Immortal, where it's, you know, they've pretty much said up front that it's going to be MMO-ish. It creates this social pressure to basically pay to jump and skip ahead so you can like keep up with your friends. It preys on people who have less time, really.
Yeah, you know? It certainly does. And that's, yeah, but I mean, I love the talk of the whole Blizzard thing, but we kind of need to move into, and I'm sure there'll be more. We'll talk about it on other podcasts, but
I'm keeping an open mind about Diablo more because I'm a Diablo fan. I like those kind of games, and I like the idea of having quality mobile games too. And you know, if anyone can make a Diablo game that isn't predatory and pay to win, it's probably Blizzard. But at the same time, you just can't be too optimistic, because it's Activision Blizzard. And Activision, they don't care what people think of them. All they care about is the Skrilla, baby.
Mm-hmm.
I want that money.
All right, so let's get into, obviously, the big talk, why people are here, besides to just listen to us banter back and forth about whatever we want to. XO18 finally happened yesterday in Mexico City, and a two-hour jumbo-sized episode of Inside Xbox. And you know, the reactions are varying depending on who you talk to. Personally, I did a video yesterday, my review of the show. I thought while it had some interesting things to talk about, obviously the two studio acquisitions, the 16 new games, and the, you know, the Game Pass and things like that, I felt like it was entirely way too long at 2 hours and ended up being boring. Like really boring. And you know what? I watched PSX 2017. That show was boring because they just sat on couches talking to us, right, for an hour and a half or whatever it was. And I said that was boring. So I got to say this is boring too. I was bored. Like, this isn't like, I literally was in a party with my friends. I was engaged for the first 30 minutes, Jazz. Like, I thought the first 30 minutes was fantastic, right? And then you know what happened? That Kingdom Hearts 3 segment. It just kind of killed the whole show for me. I just found myself not caring, kind of like not even watching the thing. And I will say, though, because I there is like a talk, like people talk about the crowd there. I love the crowd. Despite if they were paid off, despite if they were whatever, I thought the crowd energy, I know they weren't paid off, but that's obviously people want to bring that up like they were paid off or, you know, they were told what to say. If it gave the show a different energy than your normal conference, your normal E3 show. I felt like a lot of them were being genuine, and I like that aspect of it, and I hope Microsoft incorporates that into other XOs going forward. But like me and you said previously, don't really expect E3 level stuff because that's not what this show is. I will say, like, not a new game announcement is a letdown, as Spence YT just said in chat. I was expecting something, but obviously Microsoft is holding their cards close to their chest. Give me your thoughts, Jez, before then. I can ramble about this all day. I want to know what you thought.
Nah, I agree with you. I think, like, I mean, I was watching it with friends too, you know, and the pacing was really good. And still, even when the pacing was good, I was thinking, like, this is going to be a concise show. It's going to, like, just be sort of little hit after little hit and then, you know, end the show or something on the acquisitions. And, yeah, it was time as you, man. They hit that Kingdom Hearts segment and everyone reached there for their phones and, you know, started talking about other things and stuff like that. And my God, that Minecraft bit, man. I just sort of disengaged after that Kingdom Hearts roadblock.
Yeah, same thing. I don't get it. Like, I know they put this together. I know they rehearse it and there's PR. I don't know who thought that was a good segment.
But that's the thing, though. There are people who love Kingdom Hearts. So, like, and there's people who love Minecraft and they love that stuff. And there'll be people who watch that show and they were really happy with the Kingdom Hearts stuff. I can't stand Kingdom Hearts. I don't care about it. There's no blood in it. So it's dead to me. But, you know, there are people who love Kingdom Hearts, so maybe there's people who really enjoy that stuff. You know, the way they should have done that segment, they should have said this was like a meeting with Square Enix to talk about Final Fantasy and stuff like that, and then, you know, people could have maybe anticipated a bit more from the Final Fantasy 13, and maybe they could have shown Final Fantasy 7 running on Xbox instead. You know, like
that game doesn't exist. What do you mean, Final Fantasy 7 remake?
No, OG forget one. The remake. I don't care about that. I'm talking about the OG one, man. I'm more hyped for OG Final Fantasy 7 than the hack and slash bastardized remake they're making.
It's just that Kingdom Hearts thing was just like you had Jeff Rubenstein, who I think does a good job. Like asking a question in English to, obviously, you know, I forget the dude's name, but like the head of like Square Enix, he answers in Japanese. The woman next to him, you know, writes down and reads back his translation in the most robotic voice imaginable with no emotions. Plus, I think the audio was a little weird because sometimes it's hard to hear the presenters over the crowd. So I thought it was mixed a little bit bad, but it's like, I don't know who put that together and was like, yeah, this is the right length. Cause it was a long segment and it killed everything because you start out the beginning with the crowd super hyped. You drop the news that PUBG is going into Game Pass, right? Kind of an
it's a variety show. I think the idea behind it is that it's a variety show with interviews, with trailers, with gameplay. You know, the Phil interview was really good. That was fast-paced and stuff like that.
Well, like I said, like you start out like more than anything, this was a commercial for Xbox Game Pass. Do you agree?
Yeah, they're pushing Game Pass pretty hard. Very, very hard, actually.
Very hard. Like extremely, they had multiple breaks where they were talking about Game Pass and the new games that were joining, 16 brand new ones split up a course of the whole night. They start out with PUBG and how you can get it now for $1, right? I'm like, okay, well, that's kind of a cool announcement. PUBG is about to come to PlayStation next month, December 8th, if you believe the Amazon listing, which I kind of do. It's coming next month. So, okay, put it in Game Pass. It's a good value add, right? And then after that, they went right into to Crackdown, right? Yeah. Which I think showed off well. That Terry Crews trailer was really good. Like, just tell me, please. I need to know this. Is Terry Crews the person you play as in the single player? Like, am I playing as Terry Crews throughout the entire campaign? Am I going to have a Terry Crews adventure? A 15-hour Terry Crews adventure?
I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say or not, actually.
Okay, well, if you're not allowed to say, but you're not allowed to say, but...
I will say yes and no.
Yes and no. Okay.
You can... I really don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Well, if you can't say anything, don't get in trouble.
God, I don't know. Basically, there's a bunch of agents you can choose from.
Yeah, like kind of like the first two Crackdowns. That was like you picked like Marilyn Manson character and like, yeah, they had the characters.
Yeah,
you could choose from.
I don't know for sure, but I think they hinted that maybe you can play as Terry Crews.
Well, I will be playing
I think they didn't want to say for sure. I think they want to save that for an announcement of the time, but I feel like they might have been hinting at me. So don't take that as definitely, but I feel like there was a hint that maybe you could play as Terry Crews. I don't know. Yeah. I hope so, because, again, they showed us some of the campaign footage and in-game cutscene with Terry Crews, and I don't want to spoil it because it's incredible. Terry Crews is amazing. He's a god. He's hilarious. And he's so good in Crackdown 3. Yeah, I will say that much.
Yeah. So I actually like the re-debut. Terry Crews is awesome. They showed the trailer of Wrecking Zone. They brought out Joseph Staten on stage. Mm-hmm. He gave a good presentation about it. I thought that went over well. We'll go over EXO first before we get into your Crackdown Wrecking Zone impressions, because that's going to be a big thing. But fully destructible, 5v5, kind of like Kill Confirmed. You kill an enemy agent and you pick up their dog tag, but everything is destructible, right? Like completely destructible.
Yes.
Okay, yes. So that's good.
Let's move on to talking about Crackdown multiplayer then.
So, well, you want to talk about the multiplayer right now? All right. If you
want
to go.
If you want, are we still talking about XO? Or?
Yeah, we're talking about XO. We're going to go over everything XO and then we'll go into the Crackdown multiplayer.
Okay. Stefan, well,
yeah.
Yeah. It's. I'll talk about Crackdown in more depth in a minute, but it's fully destructible, man.
All right.
I mean, well, yeah, sort of.
Well, Michael Johnson's a fan. Shout out for the super chat. He says, the more I see of Crackdown 3, the more hyped I get for the game. It looks like a ton of fun.
This is one of the things someone said. I mean, I'll talk about it more in the Crackdown segment. But this is one of the things someone said to me, that Crackdown fans will like it. And I'm not a Crackdown fan. I've never played Crackdown before. So for me, it felt a little dated, even. But like someone said to me, but you lock on in the old Crackdown games.
You do yes, you do. You locked on, which I mean, in a competitive multiplayer game, lock on aiming is kind of like
we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah,
yeah.
So you know, like looking at like everything else here that they announced, keyboard and mouse. Let's just go to keyboard and mouse because that was a big announcement. 14 titles.
Yes.
Getting keyboard and mouse support. Razer keyboard being announced at CES 2019.
I hate that.
You hate that?
That's such a tease. I wanted to see that keyboard.
I wanted to see it too. They're talking about like some dynamic lighting where the keyboard lights up and developers can use that.
Yeah.
And it's hitting like Warframe, Warface, Daisy, a bunch of other games, but obviously the big one was Fortnite because they had a they had a message there reaffirming and trying to quiet people's fears, because there's this fear out there that if you play with keyboard and mouse on Xbox that you'll get matched up with controller people, and controller people don't really want to play against keyboard and mouse. But Fortnite made it, and they said in the video that if you play keyboard and mouse on Xbox, you will be just matched up with keyboard and mouse players. So console controller players will still be perfectly fine. It was a little bit weird though, Jez, that they didn't announce any PC games like Age of Empires Definitive Edition or Rise of Nations that were keyboard and mouse only, also coming to Xbox. What do you think about all that?
I was told actually that was a mistake.
Something, really?
That was an error on the Microsoft Store. So huh. I think they must be doing some work on the back end where those games can come to Xbox automatically or something. And that maybe some of the other Xbox people weren't aware of it. But I mean, it makes sense, right? I mean, it's almost like dumb to push keyboard and mouse and not have your number one keyboard and mouse game on UWP come to Xbox, which is Age of Empires Definitive Edition. You know, Age of Empires is like, it's still a huge franchise. The esports for Age 2 got like 20,000 viewers on Twitch. It's like, what? People still play these games? And it's like, yeah, they've got huge bustling communities for Age, especially Age 2. On Steam, I think there's Age 2 HD, Age 1 Definitive Edition, which has been remastered and upgraded. The AI has been upgraded and stuff like that, and it's got zoom levels, which obviously 2D Age didn't have. But and they're doing Age 2 HD Definitive Edition as well, I believe, and Age 3 Definitive Edition, and then they're working on Age 4 as well. I'm disappointed we didn't see Age 4. I thought that would have been a good time to reach out to PC gamers. But it was interesting as well that Phil noted that they've got a lot of work to do with the Windows Store.
Yes, that was what that was. Yeah,
this is what I think. Yeah, this is what I think they're going to do, man. I think they're going to wait until I presume the Windows Store is going to get overhauled, probably for because Microsoft's, they're moving away from the way Microsoft updates Windows is changing from next year. And I think the first update's called 19.1H or 19H1, which means 2019 half one of the year. And then they'll do a 19H2, which is like the second half of the year. Correct me if I'm wrong. I ain't that familiar with Windows. I'm sure someone knows more than me.
I don't know anything about Windows.
Yeah. Yeah, they're changing the way they update Windows, basically. So I'm presuming that maybe at E3 during the PC Gamer Show, which Phil's been on stage there before, maybe there they'll explain like we are going to be upgrade. Maybe they'll leave the Windows Store the way it is, but maybe they'll upgrade the Xbox client so it's more PC oriented. And they'll be like, this is what we're doing for PC. These are the games that we're going to be doing. We'll show H4 there. And we'll show like maybe some more keyboard and mouse games for Xbox there too. Maybe they'll announce, you know, Gears Tactics and H4 for Xbox as well there. But again, it's like kind of optics. They don't want to get into a situation like they had with Halo Wars 2. Where all the PC gamers just dismiss it because they think it's a console port. And it pretty much was. You know, Halo Wars 2, fun game, but it didn't have the RTS complexity that PC gamers really want. It's just too simple.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was just a little bit surprised, and no announcement of Sunset Overdrive coming to PC when we know it is. It's in the Steam database. The achievements are out for Windows 10. Like,
yeah, they definitely come in. I don't know. Yeah. It's weird they didn't announce it there, but maybe they're putting more effort into the Game Awards this year because they did hint heavily that.
That is true. They did.
Below at the Game Awards. Maybe they're going to try and. Maybe they're thinking like Okay, so Xbox fans watching XO, and maybe they're thinking there'll be a lot of PlayStation Nintendo fans watching the Game Awards, so maybe that's where we can get them with some of these announcements.
Yeah, maybe they just also didn't want to be like, oh, here's a game leaving Xbox to go to PC. They didn't want to have that in XO. But yeah, you're right. I mean, they are already talking about the Game Awards, as you know, Chris Charlotte came on stage to talk about ID at Xbox and said they're bringing back Winter of Arcade. Because they have a lot of games to watch in December.
You're so that's,
I think that's a really cool idea. And I would imagine that's when Below and Ashen are going to launch sometime in December as part of Winter of Arcade, right?
Yeah, they are adamant that Ashen's coming out in 2018. So, you know, it's just a matter of when, not if at this point.
Yeah. So Ermy in chat says he wanted OG Xbox news, and there was none, Jez. We got an announcement that Civ Revolution is getting X enhanced, right? And that Final Fantasy, I played Civ Rev, love it. I played on the 360.
Well, how does it, off topic slightly, but how does Civ Revolution work exactly?
Oh God, it's been a long time since I played it.
Is it like the normal Civ strategy game?
It's strategy, but I think it's a little bit dialed back for console, you know? I still thought it was a lot of fun, but so they announced that for X Enhanced, which I thought they'd announce a lot more, to be frank with you. And then they also announced Final Fantasy 13 Trilogy. So 13, 13, 2, and Lightning Returns coming to back compat with enhancements. But no talk of any OG Xbox back compat, which I think we both agreed was something that was probably going to happen. I was surprised they didn't have any announcements towards that.
Yeah, I was surprised too. I guess the licensing stuff, again, is super complicated there. I mean, that's always been the thing, right? The licensing for those old games is really hard. I thought like stuff like Oddworld Stranger's Wrath and Oddworld Munchie's Odyssey, I would have thought those would have been a given, because aren't they putting that on Switch or something? I'm sure I saw some news about those games recently, and I was proper thinking like if they're revisiting them, or mobile or something. I can't remember, but I was thinking like at least we'd see those old Oddworld games jump along to Xbox, but apparently not.
Yeah, and like I mentioned before, this was a gigantic episode for a Game Pass, getting 16 games. November, you'll get Thief of Thieves, which is Thief of Thieves, not Thief to be confused Thieves. With Sea of Thieves. It's available right now. PUBG joins on November 12th. Aidens of Mayhem, which is a Saints Row game from the makers of Saints Row, MXGP3, which is a motocross game, and Thomas Was Alone, which is a really cool indie game. They join on November 22nd, and December sees the addition of Mutant Year Zero. Didn't you?
Oh my god!
Like
I'm
look,
so
like
it.
Love that. Like that game looks like XCOM.
Dude, I played Mutant Year Zero a lot because I'm in the preview beta, and I played it at Gamescom too. If you like XCOM, you're gonna love Mutant Year Zero. It's weird and funny. It's like a post. I mean, the point of the game, I don't know if you've seen it, but you play as a team of three mutants. One is a duck with wings, and the other is a wild boar with a gun. It's a weird game, man. But the point of the game is you're trying to figure out what the hell you are. you don't know why you're a duck. You don't know. You're trying to figure that out. So like that's part of the game, and like you travel around, it's got RPG elements, exploring, finding like text files and rummaging through buildings and getting loot and all that sort of stuff. It's super fun. I was amazed that it's coming to Game Pass, because you know, I thought it probably, you just assume when a game launches into Game Pass that they don't have a lot of faith in it doing so well, so they just took the lump sum or whatever. But I would have thought Mutant Year Zero could stand on its own 2 feet. But
so that's one of the reasons why I love Game Pass a lot, is because of games launching day one into the service alongside their regular retail release. I think that adds a lot of value. And I know Microsoft does it with their own first party games, you know, Forza, State of Decay, Gears and all that
win.
Stuff.
That is a big win for Game Pass, because it's going to be a really good game.
Well, it's not the only one. So, but in December you got Mutant Year Zero joining on the 4th, Hellblade joining on the 17th, which is, I hope everybody plays that game, or In the Blind Forest joining on the 20th. And then like everything else is you know, beyond, but they're coming whenever these games do come out, they'll be launching Game Pass. So you got Kingdom Two Crowns, After Charge, Secret Neighbor, Pathologic 2, The Good Life, which is a game from Swery, Void Bastards, which they had a kind of dedicated segment to at the beginning of the show.
Looked pretty good. When I saw that in the press release, I kind of rolled my eyes, but it actually looked pretty good.
Supermarket Shriek and Ori and the Will of the Wisps, which I saw some people confused about that. Well, the thing was, Ori and the Will of the Wisps was never announced for Game Pass because the game was in production and the deal was made before Game Pass was a thing. So obviously they had to renegotiate, but that will be hitting Game Pass day one when that comes out, whenever. And interestingly enough, you know, Crackdown 3 is part of Game Pass, February 15th. That's what they announced, right? No longer delayed, no longer canceled, like a lot of people thought. But you can actually preload it right now if you own Game Pass. You can just click on the button that downloads it. This is the first time it's been like that for Game Pass, because there's always that kind of disconnect where you had to wait for the game to go up, and then you spend all night or whatever downloading like Forza Horizon 4. Now it looks like they have it where you can actually preload the game and then eventually it unlocks and you can just play it right away, which is pretty cool. What else we got here? Well, Sea of Thieves, Jez, getting a new mode. Arena mode.
You know what I thought as soon as I announced that? Elite Dangerous tried this. Elite Dangerous literally tried a separate PvP mode. All it did was split the player base, and then nobody played the PvP mode, and then they deleted it. So I ain't optimistic. I mean, maybe they'll make it fun. Maybe it'll have more to it, but...
Well, it's definitely a different thing you enter into, right? It's definitely... it's not like... You choose to play regular, or you choose this like arena mode where you hunt for treasure, but there's people like hunting you or whatever it is, right? And I do wonder if Sea of Thieves' user base is enough to kind of overcome that fracture, right? Mm. Where people are going to be... Before, it was like everybody's into this one mode. Now you're going to have people choosing another mode. And to be quite frank with you, Jez, can I just speak real talk between me and you? Like nobody, no, like there's not 528 people listening right now, right? can I just be real?
Okay, be real, man. All right. I can take it.
So here's the thing. I'm interested in the mode. However, the gunplay sucks in that game. Actual combat with the swords and pistols suck. Okay. It's not fun. The ship-to-ship combat, sure. Love it. But like, it's like half of that's like, okay, so you have good combat on the ship and terrible hand-to-hand combat. So I'm kind of two minds on this. I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, I was watching that trailer and they're like, you know, like attacking each other with their guns and swords. I'm like, but the combat sucks in Sea of Thieves. I don't know. Maybe I should have kept it to just the, you know, the ship-to-ship stuff. But yeah.
I mean, yeah, I was, you know, we've talked about this before. I was so hyped for Sea of Thieves, man.
Yes, you were. You were incredibly hyped.
I was overhyped. I've learned a lot. Did you notice? I was very measured in my coverage of Crackdown.
You were very measured. You didn't call it the PUBG of, you know, whatever year, which will stick with you forever. The PUBG. I mean, so we'll see how that comes out.
There's still time. What if this PvP mode for Sea of Thieves is so good that it does become the PUBG of 2019?
You mean like a game that's slowly on the decline because other games like it are doing better?
Better than Sea of Thieves? Like what's like Sea of Thieves,
though? Well, that is true. There is really no game like Sea of Thieves. Well, there is that Skull and Bone games from Ubisoft that's coming out this year or next year.
That's not like Sea of Thieves. That's like pure ship-to-ship combat, I believe.
Yeah.
I don't think you can even get off the ship in that.
So that was a segment there. You know, you either know by now if you love Sea of Thieves or not, but also State of Decay 2, which you've always talked about is like one of your front runners for Game of the Year, they're getting a free DLC update on November 16th with more stuff coming on 2019, some like Zed Hunter update with free weapons
They're adding silenced guns, which is something I never... I just never realized that there aren't any silenced like ranged weapons in that game. And I suppose like because sound is such an integral part of the sneaking around in that game, that the idea is that you use melee weapons to fight up close because they make less sound. So if you're using a crossbow or if you're using like a silenced rifle or something, then it kind of undermines it a bit. And there are some silenced weapons in the game, I think, but they're not super common because the idea is that you use melee weapons if you want to be quiet. But it's cool to see like there was like a variety of crossbows that are into the game. And I'm kind of glad that they're sticking with it because did you notice they announced the engagement figures for State of Decay, but not Sea of Thieves?
I did notice that. Sea of Thieves, I think, what was the last announcement for Sea of Thieves? Was it 4 million players or 5 million? I'm not sure, right? But that was a while ago. So State of Decay announced 4, and they said 4 million active players. Now, the cynic in me wants to know, what is deemed active? What is an active player, right? Is it someone who's played it the last 30 days? Is it someone who's played it this year? Like, I would really love to know what Microsoft classifies as an active player.
I mean, sure, everyone sort of they can twist those numbers in a number of ways, but this is the way I usually gauge whether, because obviously we're always evaluating what games are worth ongoing coverage of Windows Central, right?
Because, oh, wait, Wonderfist says Matt Booty said 5 million for Sea of Thieves at the end of the show.
Ah, right, okay.
So, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, that's still pretty good figures. But again, they can manipulate those figures based on a number of factors, you know. But when I'm gauging what games to cover in depth on Windows Central, because obviously you don't cover a game forever because people move on, the audience moves on, and then we move on to whatever they're moving on to. So, like, one of the ways that I gauge how well a game is doing is A, by how much search traffic a game's getting and how much, how active the subreddits are for the games. Because that's where people generally go to discuss the games, right? The State of Decay and the Sea of Thieves subreddits are still, like, super active. You know, they definitely have their core fan bases. I haven't played State of Decay for a while because I just sort of maxed out. I just sort of maxed it out, and I didn't really like the DLC they added, that horde mode thing. And also, like, the people I play co-op with generally live on the other side of the world, so the lack of dedicated servers makes it really hard to play in co-op over that sort of distance. But the fact that it still has an active player base, and the fact that they're going to add more free DLC to it, not paid DLC, that kind of says to me that they see it as driving value in Game Pass. Mm-hmm. And they also heavily hinted that they're going to add sort of like a hard mode for the game, because that's one of the main criticisms I see on Reddit now, is that the game's too damn easy. Eventually, you get to a point in State of Decay where your weapons are so good that it becomes trivial. You know, you learn the patterns of the zombies off by heart. You learn the way to take down a juggernaut without even thinking about it, just because you know off by heart the way they move and stuff like that. So, like, the next thing for that game is to add, like, a hard mode to make it so, like, stealth is way more important and, like, you have to be super careful and stuff like that. And I think they did that with the original State of Decay. They eventually added, like, much harder difficulty modes and stuff like that. So, I'm glad they're sticking with it, man. I'm really glad.
Well, yeah, and they're probably going to do State of Decay 3 for next gen, for sure. But just want to say thank you guys for watching. I see we have 526 people watching live. Appreciate it.
You guys
do us a favor and hit that like button. I see only 129. It's super easy. Just go over there, click the button, click the dislike if you're not liking the show as well. Let's see if we can get the show up to, like, I don't know, 300 likes before it's over. Just, do us that little small favor. We appreciate it. And we're going to be moving on to, let's see, what else happened at the show? Forza Horizon 4 got its first expansion.
Oh, the DLC, yeah.
Right.
What do you think?
So here's the thing. Guy,
so this is your segment.
Beautiful. I'm always honest of what my opinion is, right? I love Forza Horizon 4. I've always enjoyed their expansions. I thought the way they presented that wasn't the best. I didn't think the trailer was very good. With that said, however, I still can't wait to check it out. Extreme terrain. They showed, like, the winding curves on the side of a cliff along with, like, lightning striking the tree. However, like, part of me is like, man, I really wanted something more outside the box, like Hot Wheels.
Like Hot Wheels.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So they always tend to do that weather stuff. They did Storm Island with Forza Horizon 2, which had the really strong winds. And then Forza Horizon 3, they had Blizzard Mountain, which obviously was the snow and stuff like that. So kind of expected that, oh, now we have extreme weather. So I'm assuming like super strong winds, lightning, you know, snow and all this different stuff. It was kind of an underwhelming trailer. Maybe they didn't have enough to put it together yet, but you know, I'll still check it out when it drops. I think it said on December 13th, if I'm not mistaken.
Pretty quick, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, they said December, but that's usually how these things go. They always get these expansions out pretty fast. Playground is a great studio, which is why I'm excited for whatever they're working on, which we know to be Fable at their second studio. I have a lot of faith in Playground. So yeah, I'm excited for whenever Microsoft deems it worthy to announce Fable. Like, it's like the worst kept secret in the video game industry, you know, and they still just won't even tease it whatsoever. Like, what are you waiting for? I know the game's probably not coming out to 2020, 2021 or whatever, 2022, but it's like, you want to get people excited.
I'm curious. Like, what if all the leaks made them not want it to be Fable? Because now everyone's got this expectation of what it's going to be like. What if they're just thinking, like, you know what, maybe we shouldn't brand it Fable. Maybe it should be something new.
So they branded something else and then give Fable to Obsidian in a collab with InXile to make Fable RPG?
Or just let Fable lie.
Just don't bring it back, huh?
Maybe.
I don't know. But, Jazz, Minecraft, we got to talk about this because, oh my... God, dude, so boring.
I like pandas and cats.
Cats and pandas. But
what have you got against pandas, man?
Dude, it was cringy. Whatever. Minecraft's not for me. Minecraft's not for you. Minecraft's not for anybody watching.
Dude,
this
Minecraft
show
is for me. Screw you, man.
Either way, I thought the big announcement from this Minecraft thing was 91 million players a month.
It's insane.
That is ridiculous.
I don't know what they've done to increase engagement, but somehow Minecraft's like had some sort of big resurgence the last year. I think that they announced like 86 million at the start of the year or something in that sort of region, and it sort of just keeps growing. And I know it's driven by mobile, right? And Nintendo Switch too.
On Xbox. It's literally everywhere. It's so ubiquitous.
And Nintendo, it's the best-selling game on Switch, I think.
Is it really?
I think I read that somewhere. Maybe I'm imagining it. I don't know. But I think it's definitely up there. Yeah, well, obviously. It's one of the only games on Switch. Oh, we should talk about my Switch impressions as well later, because I've got one.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about that. But, Jez, 91 million. That's more people that play on Xbox Live a month. That's more people that play on PlayStation in a month. And I think that's
people
more...
don't realize how big Minecraft is as a
and
business.
I want to say, although I'm not 100% sure... but I think last time Steam announced monthly active users, it wasn't 91 million. So Minecraft might literally be bigger than those other those games. More, it's kind of insane to think about. And yeah,
it's the second biggest game of all time now. It's second only to Tetris.
Well, Tetris VR. Did you see that Tetris effect game for the PSVR?
No, I didn't.
Oh yeah, they released a Tetris game and it looks really cool. But yeah. Minecraft's absolutely insane, but the thing is it appeals to, I believe, a demographic that doesn't watch Inside Xbox whatsoever. Like, the people playing Minecraft are young kids and stuff. They're not watching Inside Xbox.
You'd be surprised, man. I mean, I still jump on Minecraft every now and then. I've got a server. By the way, if anyone watching this wants to join our Minecraft server, hit me up on Twitter. We'll get you in. But sometimes Minecraft's just fun to jump on and build stuff and, you know, do a bit of dungeon crawling and stuff like that. It's just one of those games that, like, and also now it has the modding platform. That was the big news. And this is why they talked about it at XO, is because they've brought genuine mods, like real mods, to the Bedrock Edition. So, like, developers can use the JavaScript language to make proper mods for Minecraft now. And obviously, little kids aren't making the mods. It's, you know, the hardcore sort of crowd making those mods. So, did you see the cars? The cars they added to the mods?
I did, yeah.
And that's another reason why Minecraft just keeps going and going and going, is because, like, when you get bored with it, you can change it. I think on our server for a bit, I had like a Jurassic Park mod, which added dinosaurs to the map. And the dinosaurs had like unique AI. They'd run around eating other animals, and they had the sound effects from Jurassic Park in it as well. Yeah, and I was just like, someone made this. Like, Microsoft didn't make this. Some fan made this, and it's such high quality. You can just keep Minecraft going forever with mods, and now Microsoft are going to get a cut of that money because they'll sell mods, proper mods, through their own store, which is going to be insane money. So that game's not going away for a long time.
Yeah, they also had some third-party games there. Devil May Cry 5, which, they had an
Looks
in-depth
great.
look at it. Battlefield 5 showed a trailer, which looked really good. Just Cause 4, they had an interview with it. And I gotta say, I haven't really been interested in Just Cause 4, but that showcase kind of got me a little bit interested in it. I don't know if I'm gonna get it, but I was like, now I'm like, okay, I'm kind of interested in it. And they had a little look at Shadow of the Tomb Raider DLC with co-op and stuff, which is pretty cool. So they also brought back Crazy Larry to let everybody know that, hey, Xbox
Yeah,
One X
boy.
is gonna be $399, boy, right? All their sales.
What do you think of Crazy Larry?
I mean, it fits with Major's persona, I guess. I mean, he's been doing it for years though.
He's like that in real life.
L245 says Rantic's a massive L for hyping this up. Now, I would agree with you.
What?
I did take an look. I my
Did you
initial
hype it
pre
up?
well, okay, my initial prediction video was a little bit on the hype side, right? I'll take that out. Hey, it's a prediction video for a reason. It's not like a fact video. It's just like, here's what I think. But if you listen to the show, which I'm not sure you really do, because you would know as well as most of the people here in chat that me and Jez literally talked about this 2 weeks ago, where we said don't expect much, and I walked back to all my predictions. So I'll take the L for my Fable not showing up and stuff like that. Yeah, I was wrong, but it's a prediction. But I did say that don't get you know don't. Whatever. You know what I mean? It's not like I didn't roll back on all that.
I hate doing predictions because it's like they're predictions. How can you possibly know for sure? And like,
Yeah.
as long as you tag it with like, yeah, these are the rumors,
I did.
don't.
I sure as and I did a video literally 3 days ago that was like, here's everything we know and rumors and leaks, and
I liked
you
one of my
know.
predictions. I predicted that if they talk about xCloud, only if they talked about Scarlet, or they'd talk about Scarlet only if they talk about xCloud, and they didn't. So
Yeah.
I was right on that one.
OBJ says you led the people astray, Rand. It's my fault. Ugh. I led the flock astray. Damn it, I got people excited. I'll take it, okay?
Xbox,
I
Ryan.
ruined it for everybody.
You ruined
I'm an
everything.
ass. I'm sorry. I'll beg your guys' forgiveness. Please, please don't be upset. I'll take the L for hyping this up when my prediction video. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to lead the Xbox community astray, even though some people turn on me. I put out a video, Jez, yesterday, and I was like, the show's boring. And hoo-hoo, you should see some of the comments and that like to dislike ratio. And it wasn't like I said the show was trash, even though my boy OBJ would say it's trash, right? I just said, hey, I was bored. There's some cool stuff here. The show was an hour long, it would have been great. I kind of wish Microsoft showed more things. I'm still really excited for the future
You
because we're going to talk about.
you're more annoyed about the format that it took
I'm really
two
annoyed
hours
with
of
the
your life,
format. Yes,
two
2
hours of
hours
your
is too
life to
long.
find out the big meat. I think that's ultimately the biggest problem, is that it took them 2 hours to get to the bit the hardcore fans were really interested in, which was obviously in
Obsidian,
Exile and stuff.
which, and I've said I'm still, and I have a video coming out soon. I'm still super excited about the future of Xbox, more so now than ever. They literally added
That's
seven new
those
studios this
RPGs.
year. Seven. And while I have question marks on a couple of them, like Compulsion Games, still not convinced they can make anything good.
Oh, I've
In
got some news about
Exile,
Compulsion, actually.
right? In Exile, not really, don't really care about what they've made. Don't really, like, they need to
You're a bad
prove it.
person.
I don't, they need to prove themselves to me. While
They
the other ones,
don't.
I'm like,
Wasteland 2 is the best game.
All I'm saying is, like, I'm not a person that's like, we got In Exile. I'm such a huge fan now, even though 10 minutes ago I never knew what games they made. You know what I'm saying?
That's fair.
So they announced the big news, which they save for the end of the show. And I said it in the video jokingly, and some people were like, you're so mean. I was like, they were like holding the studio acquisitions announcement as like hostage. Like, we're going to announce it at the end of the show, so sit through this two-hour ad for Game Pass until we get to the big thing. And the big thing was In Exile, which you fanboyed over, right? And dude, you could explain why here in a minute. So and Obsidian. So tell us about In Exile, Jez, because quite frankly, I'm not going to like talk about them because I don't know anything. So it's like, I don't have a basis of knowledge. So you tell the people why they should be excited about In Exile, and I'll sit there and be like, you're wrong, Jez. But okay, go ahead.
It's interesting, right? Because In Exile and Obsidian share a common ancestry. They're both sort of founded and made up of people who worked for companies like BioWare, Black Isle Studios, and stuff like that. A lot of these classic RPGs like Baldur's Gate and Icewind Dale and Neverwinter Nights and, you know, stuff like that. They all come from this sort of similar place. And it's these studios, In Exile Entertainment and Obsidian, that sort of were born from the ashes of Interplay, and they were born from the ashes of Black Isle, and you could arguably say by like old school BioWare as well, in a way. So Obsidian are known for making sort of overly ambitious RPGs that didn't really have the budget to live up to what they were trying to do. Knights of the Old Republic 2, which is regarded as a classic, but people often feel like it wasn't as good as the first one. They made Fallout New Vegas, which was a better RPG than Fallout 3, but my God, when it launched, it was a train crash of bugs, errors, falling through the floor, crashing on the Xbox 360. Did they even release it on PS3? Because it was so buggy.
I don't even know.
Fallout New Vegas.
Yeah,
release the DLC, right? They just released the base game.
I don't know, but okay. I'm not sure.
But basically, it was buggy and broken. And it had this amazing RPG tradition where your decisions actually mattered in Fallout New Vegas, and now Fallout fans often look back at Fallout New Vegas as the best of the modern games. Now, as for In Exile, Brian Fargo, who founded and leads In Exile, he produced Fallout 1 and 2, which are sort of classic isometric turn-based RPGs. And they were the successors to the original Wasteland, which was on MS-DOS, which was also sort of like this sort of classic apocalyptic RPG where your decisions affected the outcome of the game. And when Brian Fargo left Interplay and a bunch of stuff happened, and he eventually made In Exile Entertainment, and he acquired the Wasteland franchise and the Bard's Tale franchise from whoever had those licenses. I'm guessing Interplay, because Interplay had a fire sale of all their IP because they were going bankrupt, and he got Wasteland 2 back. I might be incorrect on some of these finer details, but that's basically essentially what happened. And then they made Wasteland 2, which is sort of like, it's the real Fallout 3. So Fallout 3 is a 3D shooter, but really Fallout was always meant to be this sort of isometric CRPG where, like, you know, your decisions mattered. It had turn-based tactical gameplay. You know, it was, like, full of exploration and stuff like that. And Fallout 3 had that tradition to a degree, but it was never meant to be a shooter. And sure, the fact that it went first-person shooter brought it to, like, a massive audience and turned it into this dominating IP. But it was always Brian Fargo's team that got it to that level with Fallout 1 and 2. And sort of captured that Mad Max sort of mindset in the game. And that's why I'm so excited, because he's bringing that sort of Fallout post-apocalyptic franchise in Wasteland to Microsoft with Microsoft's budget. And if you watch the first trailer for Wasteland 3, it looks like such a huge step up from Wasteland 2, which I love, but, you know, it was rough around the edges. It was a really rough game, buggy, laggy, built on Unity engine, which isn't great. And, you know, and it was backed by Kickstarter.
Right,
so now
yeah.
They don't have to worry about struggling for funds. They don't have to worry about marketing their games and stuff like that. Everyone in Exile now, and Obsidian, they don't have to worry about all that stuff. Like, where's the funding going to come from to pay the rent next month? They don't have to worry about that stuff anymore. They can just focus 100% on making products. And I think now that Obsidian has that freedom, and now that InXile has that freedom as well, the quality issues that their RPGs have had should hopefully go away, and we'll just get quality products from them, you know?
That's yeah, my hope. So, like, they already said, like, you know, their backers will be fulfilled, so whatever platform, so, like, Wasteland 3 and Bart, whatever else, are becoming a PlayStation if that's where you bought it. The rest is still to be determined. I'm assuming whatever they make afterwards will be, you know, Xbox and, you know, PC. But I'm excited. In Exile, we'll see what they make. And if it would excite me.
They're making Wasteland 3.
I'm not excited about that one bit. I ain't gonna lie. Like, I'm not gonna pretend to be excited for something I have no interest in just because it's on Xbox.
Do you not like XCOM?
Not really, no.
Well, you know, it's not for everyone. Turn-based strategy is not for everyone.
No, it is. It isn't. But I'm excited about Obsidian because I've played a lot of Obsidian's games. I love South Park. I love KOTOR 2. I actually really enjoyed Alpha Protocol. I played a little bit of Pillars of Eternity.
Well, that's the thing I was wondering. Do they own the Alpha Protocol IP now, or is that still Sega?
I don't know. I mean, they did show it during stream, so it's interesting to see who does own that. I can't imagine they would.
Because that was the problem with an Alpha Protocol, really, was like the execution, the budget, and sort of Sega isn't the most forgiving publisher. Like, modern Microsoft would probably have delayed Alpha Protocol to get the budget up, to get the quality up, right? Sega back in the day, and even now, wouldn't have done that.
Yeah, no. So I'm excited for what Obsidian's going to make. I'm excited for what Ninja Theory is doing, what Playground Games is doing, what the Initiative is working on. I like I said, I still have some question marks. I Compulsion Games with, you know, what you said, you have some news, so do you have some?
Yeah, I've heard from a friend of mine called Rodney that one of Microsoft's business consultants has joined Compulsion or something. So, like, and they specialize in expansion and talent acquisition and stuff like that. So it looks like Compulsion has a plan to expand, basically.
Well, yeah. So that's the other thing. Like I said before, I'm still super excited about the future of Xbox, more so than I've been before, because the big question mark, the big thing that I complained about, that I sent emails to people at Xbox about, was their lack of first party. It's a thing that bothered me even back during the 360 era. And I wanted to see Microsoft address that. And they did, right? So, I'm a patient person. Like, I know these games are all for next generation. I know Microsoft is eyeing next gen huge, right? And I'm not telling anybody to wait for anything. I mean, I do have my PlayStation sitting next to me and a Switch. I can play whatever I want, whenever I want. You know, I'm not just shackled to the Xbox.
Well, you've got those YouTube millions, that's why.
Yeah, my YouTube millions. I'm just saying, I they added 600 developers. They bought 7 new studios, which is more than they've had. Like, I'm really excited to see what they do. And this one guy in chat is still trying to say I said they would buy Sega, which I never did. I don't know why I keep on saying that.
That's like an in-joke at Microsoft now.
Yeah, I got a gaming PC if I want to play. So either way, I'm excited. Jez is excited. Studio acquisitions are always good. Microsoft still looking for new studios. I mean, I don't know. Turtle Rock and all that stuff might happen eventually down the road. But Jez, I wanted to get into the Crackdown stuff. All right, you know what? Before we do that, really quick, if you were to grade this show, what would you grade it?
I give it a 7. 7 out of 10. Back of InXile and Obsidian. That's one of the main things people criticized Xbox about as well. They didn't have a strong RPG tradition. So they've answered that now.
Yeah, I want to see the new games. I want to see what they're working on. But if I had to rate the show, it was the best Inside Xbox episode ever. However, that is a very low bar, as I'm not a fan of the format. I'm not a fan of the length. It leads for boring segments, which was the show was. It was quite boring. I'd give it a C, which is exactly what I gave PSX 2017, a C. You know, so
I give it a B minus.
It could have been a lot better if they just shortened it up a little bit. But Crackdown, Jez, I want to hear about this. I read your article. You're one of the few people outside of like people in Mexico right now playing it. Wrecking Zone, fully destructible multiplayer, 60 frames per second, native 4K. Tell me about it, Jez. Please, let's hear your impressions.
Okay, so last week I was at Microsoft headquarters to play Crackdown, Wrecking Zone specifically. We did get to see a bit of the campaign as well, but I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about that or not. I'll get that checked, and if I can, then I'll talk about it next week. But I played the multiplayer for about an hour. I played several games. I destroyed everyone at the game. No offense to anyone I was playing with, but you all suck. And it was fun, man. It was fun. But I'm not super hyped about it. And I'll tell you why.
You're not super hyped?
No, I'm not super hyped about it. The cloud destruction tech was amazing. It was as good as it was when we saw it in 2015, I want to say. We saw it at Gamescom. Microsoft showed us behind closed doors, running on closed network conditions. And they showed us they had a console overlay showing the servers lighting up every time someone they had to call up a new server to keep the physics engine running and stuff like that. We saw all that stuff at Gamescom, and it worked, but it was closed network conditions. This was running on Xbox Live itself on Thunderhead, and it worked. You know, it worked flawlessly. There was no lag, there was no hitching or anything like you'd expect from this kind of like technical achievement. It just felt like a multiplayer, your average multiplayer game with insane cloud destruction. The explosions were really well done. It felt like obviously a lot of work had to be done getting the explosions to look and feel right. They sounded great and all that sort of stuff. My issue with Crackdown was the actual game on top of all this destruction. I kind of feel like they haven't had enough time to put a game on top of the destruction. And for background, I was told like 90% of the dev time for Crackdown 3 has gone towards making the cloud destruction a viable consumer product. The amount of complexity involved cannot be understated. It's like things like it's tied to the rollout of Azure across all the different regions. It's tied to the fact that CloudGin left the development process and went to Epic Games. Code had to be rewritten because of this. And all this sort of stuff contributed to a scenario where Ruffian, who are making the game part of Crackdown's multiplayer, they just haven't had much time to play. I feel like they haven't had much time to play with actually making a quality multiplayer experience on top of it. Now, that being said, they did emphasize very heavily to me that it was a work in progress and that they're still gathering feedback on it. And there are some there are some internal beta tests going on for the game. With focus groups and that sort of thing. And I think like part of the reason we were there was to offer like some genuine real world feedback and stuff like that. So like it's still a work in progress, but the fact that the reason I'm worried about the depth, Randy, is because it is a lock-on game. You lock on with the left trigger, you snap to lock on to anything that you're aiming at in the sort of general direction, and then you are locked onto that person. The idea is that they have to break the lock by punching through buildings, line of sighting, blowing if you've got people aiming at you, you can blow a hole in a building to hide and make your own cover. And that's where the sort of tactics come in. But it just didn't feel that deep to me. I got into a flow very, very quickly of how to play the game, and I just sort of like I just found myself doing the same things in every situation. Whenever anyone was attacking me, I just used my defensive ability. You've got like a defensive ability on one of your shoulder buttons. I had like an overshield thing, and I just pressed that every time someone was attacking me. And then when you kill enough players, you get like an overcharge mode, which increases your damage and stuff like that. So I just popped that on cooldown, and it just sort of like, it just felt formulaic to me. Like there wasn't much dynamism in the combat. And I just felt like it was a great experience, but it's not something I would, you know, for example, it wouldn't pull me away from Battlefield. It wouldn't pull me away from Overwatch or even Call of Duty.
So you're saying like the actual mode, despite the impressive the destruction, right, is a shallow experience. Is kind of what you're saying. Like it's cool to get in there, play a few games, see the destruction tech that it actually works. You know, Cake Batter, he in chat, he wants to know if it's significantly better than Red Faction, which when watching that trailer, I did think, hey, this kind of looks like Red Faction's multiplayer from last generation.
It is. I played Red Faction Guerrilla a lot, and I love that game, actually. It is better than Red Faction in the sense that the chunks, the maps are just way more vertical than Red Faction. And I know like Red Faction multiplayer did have like, they had like some towers in them and stuff, and you could knock them down and stuff like that. But seriously, these are skyscrapers. They're so, so much bigger than what you get in Red Faction. And not only that, but the debris is persistent. You know, it doesn't just vanish. Like the way Red Faction work was, there was an allocation of RAM dedicated to the particles and stuff like that. When that RAM was full, the particles just vanished. It's not like that in Crackdown. The particles stay there. The huge chunks of buildings, they stay there. They create cover. They change the map dynamically because they persist throughout the whole game.
Oh, okay, so you can confirm that, because I saw people talking about that. People were saying like, oh, in the original demo, the rubble stayed on the ground, but it didn't seem
tiny particles disappear. Like if you're talking like a house brick or a piece of glass, those disappear, but like huge segments of like building, they don't disappear. Like there are pitfalls in the game, right? And I destroyed part of a building, and this huge sort of gangway fell down and crushed the whole building underneath it. And that like crushed gangway blocked the pitfall for the rest of the match. So it's not like every piece of glass doesn't remain, but you know, the larger chunks definitely do remain.
So your big takeaway from it was, Cloud is real. Destruction is real. It looks good. How does it run? You said it runs at 60 frames. Does the frame rate hold up? Or
this is the bit I'm confused about, right? Because I was playing it on an Xbox One dev kit, and it was running at 60 frames, 4K. But it seemed to use dynamic resolution scaling. As when I look back at my footage, you can see the resolution dropping down when I'm moving and stuff like that. You don't notice it while you're playing, obviously, because you're moving, but it does look like it uses dynamic resolution scaling. I can't measure it because I'm not Digital Foundry, but that's just my gut feeling. It was definitely 60 frames, but the fact that people were surprised about it makes me want to get that fully confirmed. But yeah, I'm like 95% sure it's going to be 60 frames on the Xbox One X and the S. So there's that. The reason for that, Rand, is because the whole game experience runs in the cloud. Like all the physics, that is completely offloaded to Azure, so they can just use the CPU they've saved. They can use that entirely for like the simple local rendering stuff.
Now how big is the levels? Because you know, people will say like, oh, they promised the entire city when you know back in 2015, which I'm not sure they ever did. But so it's 5v5. So how big is the chunk of playground that you're actually going through in this?
Well, there's three maps at launch, and I played on two of them. One of them is like a sort of, it's an asteroid mining facility. So there's like a huge asteroid in the middle of the map, and there's like all this machinery and factories all the way around. It was massive, man. I didn't get a sense of like, oh, this map isn't big enough. It just felt like this is big enough and vertical enough for 5v5. And it felt huge, but I feel like anything bigger, you would have been struggling for people to find a kill, maybe. If they felt well tuned, I felt they were huge enough. And also remember, they're really vertical. You can go inside the buildings, and you're actually encouraged to go inside the buildings because some of the buildings have explosives you can pick up and throw around, and they have like see, there's hidden power-ups too that you can get in some of the buildings. So, you know, it's interior, exterior, huge. There's like, I don't know, dozens of skyscrapers in each segment, and there are these jump pads which propel you across the map
Yeah,
really
I've
fast.
seen some of that in like I think you posted a video of like getting the verticality is pretty huge in that. You could jump. You're an
Oh
agent.
yeah.
You're basically a superhero. Now, Top Dog, and I don't know why I'm asking a question from Top Fraud, but he wants to know, can you still shoot holes in concrete like you could in that demo where it was like a
I
wall
think
of concrete and you
this
can kind
guy
of
was,
like.
I think this guy tweeted me and seemed upset that you couldn't shoot holes in concrete.
It's probably true. Yeah, he definitely hangs on the word of Xbox people a lot. He's always in every one of their podcasts, but hates Xbox with a passion. But yeah.
That is weird. Like, what do you get out of hating Xbox and following Xbox podcasts around? I'm curious.
I don't know. But let answer his
Answer
question.
that question while I answer your
Yeah.
question.
Okay.
So that specific demo where you blow tiny little 1-inch size chunks in walls, no, you can't cut out a little square in a wall in the multiplayer. And I don't know why you'd want to, but if you use a shotgun and you blast the wall, yeah, it leaves a hole, you know, and you can shoot through the hole. But like, can you like draw a penis with the bullets? No. So
Now,
I mean, if you were hoping to be able to draw a penis, and maybe you're the kind of person that is hopeful that they can draw a penis in a game on a wall, I'm afraid you're not going to be able to do that. I'm sorry to hear that.
one of the criticisms you did have in your article is that you felt because of the lock-on that the weapons really didn't feel any different from one another.
Yeah, I mean that was the biggest criticism for me was. I used the Gatling gun, assault rifle, a pistol, and a shotgun. Because of the lock-on, they didn't have enough differentiation. It was like, okay, I'm using the Gatling gun now. The only reason I knew it was a Gatling gun was because it said so on the screen, and it had like a little bit of a spin-up time. The guns didn't sound different enough from each other. They didn't look different enough from each other. The fact that I know like the agents are supposed to be super soldiers, but the fact that like you use a Gatling gun over your shoulder in the same way that you use a rifle over like pressed against your shoulder, that isn't what a Gatling gun is to me. A Gatling gun to me is like you hold it at your side, it's super heavy. And I automatically had this assumption that if I was using a Gatling gun, then that'd mean like I wouldn't be able to jump as high or anything like that. But it didn't affect the gameplay at all. Having a Gatling gun did not affect the gameplay, which was annoying. And again, they said to me, we can tweak the numbers on this, you know, it's still work in progress, getting the feel of these weapons down right. So like I wanted to put that out there because I want that to be addressed. The weapons need to feel different. In order to be rewarding, they need to feel different. And when I played, they didn't feel different enough. So hopefully they'll sort that for launch.
Did you notice that if you download the game on Game Pass, it's like two games though? You get like presumably a single player and then a multiplayer. So is it two separate games? Do you know anything about that?
The client I played was not two separate games. On the dashboard, it was like launch campaign or launch multiplayer, but again, that might have just been the demo client. Maybe they will launch it as two separate titles. I mean, what do you think of that if they do?
I
Maybe
don't
launch
know.
Crackdown multiplayer as free to play or something?
I mean, they do. They always say like if you pre-order the game, you get access to Wrecking Zone or whatever, which is kind of a weird thing to say. You would just think like you get the game. It almost seems like Wrecking Zone's its own separate mode. I mean, maybe we'll find out more about it later, but the fact that like you can pre-order it now and there's two separate downloads kind of implies it's two separate like things you can start up. Like I want to play the campaign and or I want to play the multiplayer and there's two separate things. I don't know. It's pretty interesting, but
It is. There's that. There's a what's it called? Crackdown 3 New Providence, and then
yeah.
separately is Crackdown 3 Wrecking Zone or whatever. They must be exploring new business models for this, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe, how about this? Maybe, I don't know. Maybe that could make the multiplayer free to play. But the thing is, they said to me, no loot crates and no microtransactions at launch. So maybe they'll add them later, but they very at least said to me, no loot crates.
I wonder if this is a game that could have really benefited from a public beta of some kind.
Well, they did originally say that, right?
I mean, in 2016, yes, they did say that there would be a beta. The game's coming out in February. Now, do you know if both the single player and multiplayer are launching on February 15th? This
I
isn't like a
don't. I would
so
presume so.
it okay, because I'm just because the trailer they showed did say February 15th, because I guess we'll find out more. I would assume they're both launching on the same day. LG Nemesis wants to know if there an option to change your sensitivity, or like, and I want to ask you, can you turn off lock on?
No, you can't. Well, at least when I played, you couldn't turn off lock on.
Okay.
But the thing is, you get destroyed if you don't turn on lock on, because people are jumping around, they're moving around really fast. I mean, if you turn off lock on, you're just going to get destroyed, like in GTA Online. They added the ability to turn off lock on in GTA Online, and it was just silly because the people who had it on just destroyed everyone. Because the game's vertical, people are dropping down really fast, and if they can lock on and jump away really fast, they're going to absolutely destroy you. So I don't know why you'd want to turn it off.
Right.
Maybe they'll do a separate playlist or something where just nobody has lock on. I could get behind that. But one of the things they also said to me was, because of the fact that it has lock on, it means they can do full cross-platform play with PC and it not be unfair. So,
Well, that's great information about all the Crackdown 3 stuff, Jez. I appreciate you sharing your info here. But I know it's Sunday, people got things to do, so we're gonna finish up the show. So if you guys have any questions though, make sure to drop them in chat. And I have a question for you, Jess, first,
sure.
before we take some audience questions. How are you enjoying the Nintendo Switch?
Now the coolest thing about the Switch is the form factor. I love the hardware. I'm impressed, man. Diablo 3 runs flawlessly on this thing, and it's like I know Diablo is an old game, but it looks great. It runs great. There's no lag, even though there's tons of mobs on screen, and you just presume that it'd struggle. The joysticks feel good. I love the modularity of the controllers. You can snap them off and add them to like a game pad, or just buy the separate game pad if you want and stuff like that. I love the hardware. But Rand, we've always had back and forths about this, about why indie games sell better on Switch. It has no games.
It has no games.
Switch has no games. I went through the entire Switch library, which is 2,100 games. I couldn't find a single game I either wanted to play or wasn't already on Xbox. I ain't paying £40 for Darkest Dungeon, man. £40 for Darkest Dungeon? Are they tripping? There's no games on the Switch. So
Wow.
that's why indie games sell, is because there's no competition. There's no AAA competition. Doom's on there, or Wolfenstein, and they're old games. Don't want to play them again. And if I do want to play them, I'll play them in 4K on my Xbox One. Yeah, it's nice to have them mobile, but I'll wait for Project X Cloud for that. I want to get Smash Brothers. Not really interested in Zelda. I got Diablo just because some of my friends have got Diablo. But that's it, man. I want Metroid Prime. There's no classic games on there. So I would have liked to have played classic Mario, Yoshi's Island, classic Super Metroid, and stuff like that. But none of them are on there. And if they are going to be on there, they're going to be tied to a stupid subscription service that I don't want to pay for. So I'm kind of bewildered by it, really.
Well, I'm glad I don't have any Nintendo fans on the channel, because they'd be coming at me with, "What do you mean it has no games?" Right?
What games does it have?
I
Tell
don't
me.
know. I mean, I hear all the time Xbox has no games. I don't know.
But it has all the same games Xbox has, but in lower resolution and more expensive a lot of the time. £40 for Darkest Dungeon. That game's like $5 on Steam. I ain't paying £40 for Darkest Dungeon.
Well, let's dive into some actual questions here. Well, you know what? I have another question for you. When are you going to get a PlayStation 4 and experience that greatness, son?
Man.
You know, now that you got a Switch, I think it's time to get yourself, you know, you've got Black Friday coming up. I'm sure there's sales in Germany. I'm sure you can pick up a PlayStation super cheap, right?
We'll see.
There are some games worth playing.
And well, that's the PlayStation. Thing. That's the difference between the Switch and PlayStation, really, is that I love the Switch's form factor and the hardware. I love the portability of it and stuff like that. Even though I'm not a fan of the way Nintendo's handling the games on that system. But Sony's like the opposite. The form factor of the PS4 Pro is just wrong. It's massive and noisy. And it's kind of funny that they're releasing a new version that's quieter. But the difference with PlayStation is the games are amazing. So it's like, do I want to pay for this huge console that's quite expensive for a few games and then spend most of my time on Xbox and PC? It's hard, man. It's hard to choose. Because I can take my Switch with me on vacation or when I'm traveling. But PlayStation would just sort of sit there waiting for the next exclusive. So, I don't know.
Interesting.
My girlfriend wants me to get a PlayStation because she hates Xbox. Because Xbox has no singing games.
Well, okay, so Kratopsy wants to know how we're doing. I'm doing good. How are you doing, Jazz? You doing all right?
I'm doing good, man. Just playing Battlefield, playing games. I'm going to play a lot of Heroes of the Storm this week.
Yeah. Captain Crust says, where was Ashen? I know, right? I thought for sure it would be part of the show, but I would imagine...
Annapurna Interactive has sold the rights to the Game Awards. That's where Ashen is.
Yeah, so Ashen's going to be at the Game Awards. Zod wants to know, what about Battletoads? I would like to know. Yeah, Battletoads was no show. And I don't even think they mentioned it. I don't think when Matt Booty was talking about the games they have coming next year, he even mentioned Battletoads.
I think what they're doing there is ultimately they're waiting for E3 to talk about games because that's when investors are watching. So
yeah, I guess, yeah.
Investors probably are less interested in what studios they're acquiring and, you know, whether Minecraft has pandas in it.
Yeah, Ermi wants to know, thoughts on Sony's new patent for remastering through emulation just like the X already does. For Rapper the Rapper as an example, I guess BC is important now.
I think it's a good thing, especially if, because like Nintendo, PlayStation has a great legacy of games behind it.
Yes, they do.
I hate that PlayStation doesn't leverage that more, because that'd get me to buy a PlayStation straight away if like I could play some of these classic games from PS2 era that I love. I know there are a few on there, but they don't do enough in that area. And considering how hard Microsoft pushes on backwards compatibility when it doesn't have as much nostalgic content as Sony does, that's just a complete missed opportunity in my mind.
I agree. I'm glad they're doing it. I think some of their design choices obviously affected that. Clearly, the PlayStation 3 cell processor and stuff.
Yeah.
And Sony said they had data that showed like people didn't use backwards compatibility. So they just like they said they had data that like nobody's going to use a 4K Blu-ray player. So they didn't include a disc drive in the PlayStation 4 Pro. Obviously, there's nostalgia based around back compat, as we saw with the SNES Mini and the NES Mini, and now the Sony PlayStation Mini. That's like a viable business. People buy those. But I fully expect the PlayStation 5 to be backwards compatible with maybe every generation of PlayStation. Definitely really? The PlayStation 4. Yeah.
Definitely PS4. If it wasn't backwards compatible with PS4, that'd be...
Yeah, that would be a huge thing. But with the whole digital, I would imagine it'll be fully back compat with the PS4. And I just kind of see Sony maybe positioning PlayStation 5 as the ultimate PlayStation box. Just like how Xbox is like, hey, the Xbox One is a place where you can play all the current games and you have a bunch of 360 games and a bunch of, you know, OG Xbox games. And I think all that stuff will transfer to next gen. I can see Sony doing something similar where they're like, hey, you know what? We have all this stuff from PS1 to PS2, even
if Sony
some PS3.
I'll be there day one, man. I'll be there day one. I've still got my PS2 games.
I mean, like I said, I don't know. And, you know, it's like this, like, guy, I'm getting, you know, destroyed for saying Sega, which was always just like kind of like a, like, this ain't happening. But, you know, it's fun to think about. If Sony was going around that thing with backcompat, I think that would be very interesting. Sub-Zdoc says, question, isn't it surprising that Minecraft isn't on Game Pass? Yes, it sells, but thinking about the reoccurring money. Also, both of you stop lurking in the Xbox Era Discord. I'm in the Discord too, but I don't really use Discord. It's not surprising that Minecraft is in Game Pass because it sells all the time. Although I guess you could make an argument that it would add value to Game Pass, Jez.
Yeah,
and that's what they want to do.
That is just a pure monetary choice, I guess. I think it will be in Game Pass eventually when it gets to a complete saturation point and where they start making more money from the market, especially now they've added the modding platform to the PlayStation, the Xbox version. Once that kicks in, I think it could switch to a Game Pass thing where it's like, yeah, we'll put in Game Pass and then upsell the marketplace. That makes sense to me. But at least while it's still selling really well, I guess they'll keep it out for now.
Yeah, let's see what else we got here. FR Dispatch Gaming wants to know if Ashton's still releasing this year. Yes, probably December. 100%. BZ McNasty wants to know what big games are coming out in 2019 on the PlayStation 4. Well, I mean, all the third party stuff, which is coming out.
Day's
Xbox.
Gone, man. Day's Gone.
Day's Gone is coming out in April. Concrete Genie, which, I mean, I guess it depends on what you define as big, right? So if you're just talking about, like, AAA games, Days Gone, all the multiplats.
Where's Killzone? That's what I want to know.
Killzone's probably next gen. Now, beyond that, I don't know. They still have Ghost of Tsushima. They still have Last of Us Part 2. They still have Death Stranding. I think one of those three games will also release next year. There's some talk that
Death Stranding run.
Well, they did just say that Stranding voiceover like recordings are finished.
What is it?
I don't know what Death Stranding is. Nobody knows what Death Stranding is. Nobody knows what Death Stranding is. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, you know, with Xbox, the big games for Xbox, like big games. I mean, it's really just Gears 5, is it not? I mean, a lot of people wouldn't consider Ori a big game.
Gears Tactics is a big game. I hate you.
Yeah, but for Xbox or for PC?
For both.
Well, it's not been announced yet for Xbox.
It might as well have been.
Yeah, well, we'll see about that. Yeah, so shout out to GamerM for the super chat. It says, BC isn't a USP for the masses. Exclusives are. You know, people like different things. Not everybody likes the same stuff.
It's value added. Oh my god, I fell through the world in Battlefield 5. GG.
Yeah, I mean, some people like different things, man. Some people love their exclusives. Some people love Call of Duty and FIFA, and they only play that stuff and couldn't care less about Spider-Man and God of War or Forza.
It
doesn't really matter.
No, it's there, you know.
Yeah.
And that sells consoles. You know, the fact that it's just nice to know it's there. It's like in Mass Effect, right? I always say this, like EA always says about Mass Effect, nobody plays a Renegade, only 20% of players play a Renegade. Now, for EA, the logic there is, well, why bother including dialogue choices, right? If everyone's just playing as a Paragon, why bother adding dialogue choices? And it's because it adds value to your choice. If you are not choosing to be a Paragon, then it makes your decisions less impactful. You know, and if you just, you might as well just be playing like a linear narrative game at that point. The fact that you see your decisions play out in real time, that's the value added. And it's like that in backwards compatibility as well. I barely use backwards compatibility. It's like I've only played through the Dragon Age games. I played Metal Gear Revengeance, Rising Revengeance. I really hate that word. Revengeance. But it's, I played Metal Gear Rising. I played like the Mass Effect games too. And it's like, yeah, I don't use it all that often. I just like knowing that it's there. Like if there's like a drought, a gaming drought sometime, maybe I'll jump back and play like a classic game. If they ever make a Mass Effect 4, which they kind of were
Seems
hinting
like
at
they
in
are,
M7 there,
yeah.
I will. I do that, man. Every time a new Mass Effect comes out, I go back, play the whole trilogy to refresh. It's almost like a tradition for me. I just like to know. I just like that it's there, man.
Well,
And that's okay. It's
blank
okay.
blank says that he has insider information that PlayStation is one last major game for this gen. Thoughts on what it may be? It is unannounced, maybe Bloodborne 2. I'd expect Bloodborne 2 to be a PlayStation 5 game, to be honest with you. I mean, I guess it all depends on when PlayStation 5 is. 20, if it's next year, well, I don't think there's an unannounced exclusive. If it's,
PlayStation All-Stars 2.
yeah. If it's
Crazy.
2020, it's possible, but I don't think there's like a secret AAA hidden game. I think all the games that Sony's working on, like Horizon Zero Dawn 2 and Spider-Man 2, God of War 2, Bloodborne 2, it's Killzone, all that stuff, all their studios are basically going to be working for PlayStation 5. This gen's over. You know, we got a couple years left, but just like Xbox, Sony's looking to the future as well. You know, their studios are working on those games, but that's the end of the show. I appreciate, me and Jez appreciate everybody being here live. We had a whole bunch of you, like 530. And if you enjoyed this podcast, make sure you give it a thumbs up. Subscribe if you're new, because that would help out the channel. Jez, let the people know when the next Windows Central article is going to drop so people can check it
Well,
out.
this week I haven't decided yet. I might do like two separate articles, one about the campaign for Crackdown, and one about the cloud destruction into the tech of it. There's going to be more Crackdown content next week from me, basically. Other than that, nothing particularly exciting.
Yeah, follow Jez on
Anything?
Twitter. His link is in the description. If you guys are watching later on, you know, Google Play or iTunes, we appreciate it. Thanks everybody in chat here live, as well as all the you know, support that we got. It was pretty awesome. I'm gonna be pumping out a bunch of videos this week. Got a whole lot of content coming, like an Xbox One X 1 year review that I'm really working hard on. It's probably gonna
Oh,
be
I
my
need to do that too.
it's
Thanks.
probably gonna be my like biggest, well, the year's like it was last week, but I've been like really working hard on this video. Like I'm spending so much time editing it, and I hope people
Gonna rip it
really.
off.
Okay,
Sorry.
well, you do that. So I got a whole bunch of content coming, a whole bunch of reviews and stuff like that. So subscribe if you're new. And we're not sure. We probably won't do another show this week. We'll probably be back next
Yeah,
week
back next week.
on a regular show Wednesday or Thursday. And we'll see you then. So have a good one, guys, and we'll talk later. Bye.
Hugs.